a little tidbit about myself. I really have a heart for the prophetic. I really have a heart to see the prophetic move in our day and age, as well as especially in our church. And I believe that's why God called me to Shofar, to serve in the house of Shofar. And this evening, I'd like to come and bring a prophetic word, if that's okay with everyone here, and something that I believe is in the Lord's heart. And I entitled it, For the Cause. And this evening, we're going to look at, I'm going to do a miracle tonight. I'm going to do two sermons in one. Wow. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but two sermons in one. And then if they, luckily Pastor Tiens is on leave, that's why I'm preaching. And so he won't hear how bad this is. And then I'm preaching the end of the third session. So it's going to be three sessions, two tonight, and the third session at the end of this month. So it's giving you a month to either get over it and forgive me, or that the Lord can really work in your lives and that you can come back expectant for what God's going to show further. So it's the cause. And there's two things about the cause. There's the what is the cause and why is there a cause. And I'm doing it the wrong way around on purpose so that you'll return. I'm not going to do what the cause is. You've got a month to go and work that out. Tonight we're going to be looking at why is there a cause? 1 Samuel 17, 26-37, it's the story of David. Most of us here are church-going people, so we should know David. He was the most famous king in Jewish history, the most well-received king. And it's in the scene where his father sends him to the battlefield. Israel is standing on one side of the mountain, and then there's this valley, and there's another side of the mountain, the Philistines. And in the middle is a big boy by the name of Goliath. The biggest man I've ever met in my life was Kubis Visser. And, he's big. And he was sitting down having, I was instead of nine, I think, and he was having dinner with his family in Krabo. That's a town in the middle of nowhere that's this big. And he was having a meal with his family, with his mom and dad, and I asked him for his autograph. Now, a waiter's not supposed to do that. I took the opportunity, and he said, Sean, you're sitting. And then he stood up. And literally, he just didn't stop standing up. I was like, is he going to hit the roof? Seriously? The man was huge. Now, Kubis Visser was a lightweight to the size of Goliath. So here in the middle of this valley is this big man, and he's taunting the Israelites. And Jesse sends his son David to his older brothers to go and give them food. And he's chatting with everyone there. He's saying, dude, seriously, what's up? You know, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, Jonah Loma, who? I'll tackle him in his chops. That's what David said to him. And his brothers said to him, whoa. We see the pride in your heart. We see who you really are here. And David says something very peculiar. And David said, is there not a cause? Something in David's heart was different. So how come everyone in Israel is petrified standing before this massive giant and David is excited, the adrenaline's pumping, he's ready to go the distance? It's because his spirit was different. And this evening, I'm standing in faith that God's going to change our spirits and not our hearts. Often when we read in Scripture where it says about the heart, we don't understand that it's not actually the heart that was changed, but the spirit behind it. That's when your heart changes. It's not an emotional thing, okay? I like red today. I'm over red today. That's an emotional thing. And so often in Christianity, that's how we look at Christianity. I feel like Jesus today. I don't really feel like the Lord today. And it's an emotional thing. Or can I bring it closer to home? Oh, I've got such a heart for the burgies on the streets. God, we've got to do something. Guy comes, knocks on my door. Oh, I can't handle this now today. Does he know how I'm done? I'm having a bad day. And I don't have change for him. An emotional thing, not a spirit-led thing. So I'm standing in faith that the Lord will come and move us in the spirit. And I'll come and explain the word because please understand, I am more the prophetic, which means I make no sense to myself, or my wife, or my friends. So good luck to the rest of us here this evening. The Lord speaks to me often in visions and dreams, and I will be sharing some of those visions and dreams to try and get you along to where I believe God is saying to us. And this is not just a word for show for gardens or show for Cape Town. This is a word for the movement, the show for movement. All right. So I really hope that we're going to be excited. And so this word is really special for people that are in this house and that are serving in this house and that are called to be in shofar. But it's applicable to most of us. So I started with a very random clip. It's from a short series called Band of Brothers. And basically it's about a easy company. It's a bunch of paratroopers that went and took in Germany. And the story of their lives. And it's based on a true story of Dick Winters and a few of his boys that were in his company and what they endured and went through to be in war. So I guess, Bernie, you're saying something about war. Yes. Right. The Lord gave me a vision earlier this year it was a dream. The Lord gave me a dream, and we were having incredible worship together. And the whole shofar was there. We were singing together, just praising God. Something similar like last week. And I'm actually carrying on what the Lord had already started for those that were last week there. It started actually breaking the spirit. I'm actually carrying on. You'll pick that up as I go along. But we were worshiping. And then at one stage, some of us just started piling on top of each other in the middle, started rolling around. And in my spirit, I was just like, Lord, what's going on here? Something's not right. And more people were piling on one another, just rolling around, a real coolness towards God. And the next thing, and this would be typical of my character, I get the anger of the Lord upon my life, and I'd stop everything, and I say, in the name of Jesus, this stops now. And immediately, everyone that was there, stood in perfect rank and order, like an army would. And we were standing for literally a second or 2 seconds, and then we all went and sat again. And again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, Bernie, tell the people to stand up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stand up. And we all stood up again. And that's where I woke. And I've been praying about this since the beginning of the year. And I believe the Lord is coming to open up some of what that means and what that represents. Another dream that I had this week was we were at war. And obviously, probably because I was preparing the sermon. But I had all these awesome guns, incredible guns, like only stuff you see on movies. And yes, I enjoy movies. My wife is a mathematician, so she does the finances, the food, the bed, the everything, and I watch movies. It's really a great marriage, guys. Every man in the house that's married is going, yeah, whatever, dude, you know you're lying. Okay. I repent afterwards. But I was in this dream, and I've got these guns, but I'm starting to go through my ammo pack, and I can't get the right bullets, and the bullets are all so in my car. So I'm trying this bullet in this gun, and then the gun jams. I throw the gun away, etc., 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 and so the whole dream carried on. And I started asking the Lord, Lord, where does this fit in? And I believe what the Lord is telling us is that we're ready with the guns. We're cool. We can take out everything and anyone. Being the enemy now, not your boss. But what the Lord is telling us is that we don't have the Holy Spirit, the right Holy Spirit in the right place. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us a whole lot of things. And some of those things are gifts that he gives us. And we're using the wrong gifts in the wrong places often. And we need to start trusting the Lord tonight. I'm trusting the Lord's going to change us a little bit in the spirit tonight. In that scene that you were seeing there, the easy company, and I'm going to get a lot to this, the war thing. It's going to make sense in the end, I pray. I had a vision that lasted 3 months. It took me 3 months to have this vision a few years ago in Stellenbosch. And it was a very similar scene, and it's the reason why I showed this, where this easy company was taking, I can't remember the battle's name, but it was in France, and they were taking in France. It was snowing. There's all these trees. And in this vision, part of God's army, and we're in the trees, and we're trying to take this town, and it's the town of the enemy that the enemy's taken, and the Lord's called us to take this town. And the enemy's shooting these bombs at us, and these trees are literally exploding all around us. And the Lord says to me, call out to the people to hide in the foxholes. And in this vision, I'm crying out, get in the foxholes, get in the foxholes, get in the foxholes. And nothing happens. Later on, as the vision goes on, and I said it was really in stages, the Lord actually showed me the scene afterwards. And where there was a forest beforehand, there was absolutely nothing but destruction. Nothing. Nothing. Just this darkness and snow and nothing. And it took a while for my eyes to adjust in this vision as I'm looking. And for those of you that get visions, it's sometimes quite hard because you see in the natural, but you also see in the spirit at the same time. So you sort of got to like bifocal. It's almost like watching a 3D movie without the glasses. So you got to put on the glasses sometime. But I'm watching this vision, and I'm asking the Lord, what's going on here? What's going on? And the Lord says, look on the ground. And on the ground is all the Christians lying. And those that were not in the foxholes were literally short of spiritually dead. I say that again. Literally short of spiritually dead. Sure. Quiet in his house. I'll get back to that because hopefully it doesn't end there. Can we move on to the next slide? Hardships often, for those of you who know T.N.C. Jacobs, he quotes C.S. Lewis every day. I guess I have to do the same. Hardship often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. So this is my first sermon that I'm actually going into. Tien's brought a word in the beginning of the year that it's the caves of Adullam. Does everyone remember that? David taking the boys to Adullam. Basically, it's a cave. And that's where he meets his 400 awesome men and trains them up. And many of us go through hardships in life and been through hardships or going through a hard time now. Is that so? No? Amen? Okay, mostly saying yes. All right. So, we need to understand hardships before we can understand the Lord. You see, I shared this sermon this morning, luckily, so I got my mind a bit more on what I'm actually trying to say with the church in Tableview. And what I said there was, often God does something in our life and we think it's the devil. And sometimes the devil does something in our life and we think it's God. The problem is we don't have the discernment to know the difference. All right. And so many times, you know, and tonight especially, if you save 2 minutes, which, I mean, if you've been saved a year, 2 years, relax. This sermon's not so heavy much for you. This sermon is more for us that's been walking a road with the Lord for many years. I'm talking about the Gesoute mense in this church. That includes myself, obviously, the pastors, the staff, all of us that's been walking a road with the Lord. And what often happens is, because we go through hardships and we don't see God in it, we don't understand what God's doing, we get offended and we stop. And I need to come and share to us something about David's life. And if we look at David, he was a very interesting character. So David was anointed as the next king. Samuel comes and says, you're the next king. And so the next thing, we notice that, well, he's called. Definitely he's the next man to be king. Then we start seeing that he starts serving in the house of Saul. He starts playing music in the house of Saul, great favor with the king. All right, so that's like being, the Lord's called you to run KPMG, I don't know what's a big company, Alan Gray. The Lord says to you, Bernie, you know nothing about maths, but you're going to run Alan Gray. And you go, awesome. And next, the CEO of Alan Gray phones me up and says, Burns, come, dude, let's go play golf. And I play all day golf with, because I'm not going to sing to him, that's for sure. So I've got the favor. The next thing, I'm standing in this place where David says, is there not a cause? Goes to the king. So I go to the CEO of Alan Gray and I said, listen, dude, I've got this great idea. I'm going to blow these O's out of the water and we're going to take over half the industry for whatever Alan Gray actually does. I've got no clue. All right. And it happens, dude. We blow them out the water. I am the man. Okay, there's no denying who's the next CEO of Alan Gray. Only one problem. The CEO doesn't like the fact that you blew everyone out the water. He's a little bit intimidated, and the next thing you're running for your life. Okay? And that's what we see in David's life. We see a time of testing in his life. And if we look at the men of faith, We see what we call preparation. Okay? The pattern of preparation. It happens in Joseph's life, David's life, Paul's life, and Christ's life. There's a calling or preparation time. There's a refining or a testing time. And then there's the empowerment time. All right? So if you, is it you, Joseph, you go through jail, you go through all these things, and you serve in the house of Pharaoh, Joseph single-handedly caused that Israel didn't die. One man saved the entire nation, they would have starved to death. One man saved the entire nation. The promise of God was fulfilled because of one man in one season. If it wasn't for that man, listen to me, we would not be here. Satan was this close to wiping out Israel. We see the same in David's life. Calling, preparation, testing. We see the same in Paul's life. Would you believe we see the same in Christ's life? All right? Let's look at Scripture. Then Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be there by the devil. I'm going to read that again. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be there by the, I heard five people say, by the devil. Jesus was led. The word led there in Greek is the same word that we use as deliver. You know when we do deliverance? All right? It's the same Greek word. The Holy Spirit literally delivered him to Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. That happens after 40 days. During that time, it's very funny, but Jesus was man, and it's important that we understand that. Okay? During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, let these stones now become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was the first test. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the high point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. I'm just going to go to my notes here. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to a place of a very high mountain and showed him. Do you notice that the devil every time takes him? Then the devil took him to this very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. I, the devil, will give it to you, he said. Please note that the devil owns it. If you'll kneel down and worship me, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of him. So we see three trials in this place with Jesus. First, the devil speaks to your flesh. It's the first place the devil's going to speak to you. All right? He said, food. Num num. Okay? The second test is the character of God. It's the test that we see that Adam and Eve fail. In the garden. Did the Lord really tell you can't have this? Really? And if the devil can't get you in that place, he's going to get you in the third place, which is false worship. Okay, most of us think that's not us. That is us. It speaks of the idols of our hearts. That is where the devil tests us. And we need to be wise in what the devil's ways are. But there's something incredibly awesome. After Jesus' fast, can we look at the next scripture? Then Jesus returned, can we read together? Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. If you go through the hard times, through the season of testing, through that desert, as we saw Israel 40 years in the desert, if you go through that time, you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that through all the history, all the church history. We see how God empowers his people for those that he can trust. Be encouraged tonight to endure. God has called us to endure. Amen? So that we may be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. The power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my dad is an awesome man. He really is. He's a great man of God. But he just didn't give me his car to drive. Because he knows better. He gave me my own car. And some people know that I was unsaved in one state of my life. And in that time, I did not look after my car. I literally wrote the thing off. I stripped the whole thing, basically, the whole engine pretty much packed up because of the way I drove it. I drove like a student. I was a student. But the point is that God needs to be able to trust us. And we have to prove ourselves. We see that in David's life. We see that even in Christ's life. We see that in Paul's life. We see that in all the men of faith's lives. It's not good enough to be called or to be special or to be anointed. It's not enough. Our character has to be able to carry us. If you'll just give me a minute. Boys and their toys. This is a katana sword. It is the sword of the Japanese samurai. All right? I like movies. And yes, I do swing it around sometimes after a good movie. All right. Can we go to the next slide? I'm just going to step back just in case. I take a swipe by mistake. There's something amazing about the samurai sword. It's the katana sword. There's something amazing. And this week when you bought at work, go Google katana sword, samurai sword, Japanese sword, whatever. Google will get you there. All right? But go and read at how long and what it takes to make one of these swords. A sword like this is not made in a day. A sword like this is made over literally months. It is the strongest sword, quote unquote, Google, that you can get. Because of the way that it's made. It's literally over months. They take metal, a special metal compound that they put together, and they hammer it together in thin layers. Layer after layer after layer after layer. Thousands of layers. Okay? Not like Shrek. Thousands of layers. But the awesome thing about the katana sword is, did you know that when they pull the katana sword out, when they're busy making it, it's straight? It's not bent like it is now. And what happens is, they've got a process called quenching. It's a certain way that they cool down the sword. And if this sword, after all the refining, and all the hard work is made correctly. And it is, as you can see in those pictures there, it starts red hot and they put like like what you pottery, pot, clay, thank you. They put a certain clay over the bottom part and they cool it down very slowly. And as you can see, as it cools down, as the whole sword cools down, it gets this bend. Now, if the process was done right, it comes out perfect like this, all right? And if not, it wobbles, it gets a bend, and it's thrown away. Are we here tonight? The Lord, listen to this, allows us to go through these hard times, through this testing, so that we may be that sword in His hand. We are the swords and the spears and the shields, or whatever you want to think of it, in the Lord's hand that He can use. Amen. T.D. Jakes says, if you're too good to serve, you're not qualified to be called. Bernie Treptow says, a sword out of hand is an ornament. Write that down. Are we ornaments on the wall that we show our cool buddies? Or are we a sword in hand of the Lord? All right, Bernie, you've been talking quite a bit. You said about dreams. You said about bring it home, brother. Don't tell me what you're talking about. Okay. So back to that dream. The Lord says, get in your foxholes, get in your foxholes. I asked the Lord, Lord, how do we do this? Why? What? Where? And the Lord took me back to that dream that he gave me of that, or that vision that he gave me of those foxholes. And he said, Bernie, the foxholes is my hiding place. A sword of a warrior is kept by his side. The hiding place. The Lord's hiding place is by his side. And that's where he calls us to be. So the sword is always waiting and ready for when the Lord's going to pull us out. And that's where God's calling us. God's calling us to be hidden in Christ. And there's two scriptures. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And the Proverbs, we all know this one. The Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We are only safe when we are in the foxholes. We are only safe when we are in the hiding place. When we are in utter obedience to where God called us. Be it that we are at the side or when we're drawn in battle. All right. And that's where God is calling us. He's calling us to be hidden in Christ. So many of us are outside of that. You see, we've gotten clever. Jesus, very interesting. After he was tempted, Satan could not touch Jesus. Did you know that? Until he was before Gethsemane again, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tempted again. Scripture actually says there in Luke somewhere that the devil waited for opportune time. People pick up stones to crucify Christ or to stone him amongst people. And Scripture says he walked through them and he was untouched. God has called his church to be untouched. God is calling us to come back into the hiding place. To walk away from what we think and how we're experiencing God and stuff. To say, Lord, I will finish and endure the hardships so that I might be a sword in your hand so that we may go to battle. That I might be in the hiding place. You see, David, looking over to Goliath, understood his hiding place was in front of Goliath. Not behind him with the rest. With five stones, David knew the hiding place of the Lord was to take on Goliath. It excited him. It's something he understood in his spirit. The battle cry. Why doesn't God like make it work like this? So I'm standing in my queue to get my cup of coffee in the morning at Vidar or wherever. And this person in front of me is just very irritating. You know, typical Monday morning, person swearing and carrying on. And we just pray in the name of Jesus, disappear. And poof, he disappears. Why, when I'm driving to work, can I not split the Red Sea in the name of Jesus open? In one open all the way through. Don't you think everyone would want to be a Christian, though, if that happened? Eh? I would. Sign me up for one of those. But it doesn't work like that. So why does it work this way? Why does God work it this way around? And we're going to look at Scripture for this. Can we play that clip? The Black Hawk Down clip. I'm going to show you guys another clip. Can you pause quickly before we start? Can we make sure the volume's up high on this one? It's very, very soft. I will read the words afterwards. Please try and listen carefully. Let me explain what's happening here. This was another war movie. I like movies. My wife does the maths and makes the bed. I like war movies, especially this Ridley Scott movie. Uncle Ridley is one of my favorites. And what's happening here is also based on a real event that happened in Somalia. It was the crisis in Somalia. They were going through civil war and starvation. And there's this one guy, Eversman, which you'll see now. And he is the romantic, okay? He's like most of us when we get saved. I love Jesus. And no matter what, I love Jesus. And I'm having a horrible day, I love Jesus. He's very romantic about the idea of war. He really believes he's making a difference, which is somewhere along the line most of us believe or believed, especially when we're young and we meet the Lord. In Stellenbosch, Shofar Stellenbosch, our biggest challenge is the newly saved Christians. By far the biggest challenge. We had a band a few years ago. They came, I think they were from Germany or somewhere. Just random guys. They came to church and they met the Lord, gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. Amazing. Awesome. So they go to the one guy in the church, says, we have had amazing touch by God. We want to touch other people. We really want to reach people. And this guy says, awesome, do it. So I said, cool, we knew you'd say that, so we'd like you to help us. So I says, yes, I'm in. So I said, well, basically, we've now bought these chains. We're going to go to, it was one of the biggest bars there at the stage at the time, and we're going to close the doors, chain everyone in, bring our band, and we're going to worship in that place right there. So funny enough, the guy said, no, that's not a good idea. So young Christians are sometimes so much zeal, but not always knowing how to do that, and never lose your zeal, please. I pray that we'll all be like that, wanting to go into those places and tell people about Jesus. I lost my point totally now. Typical. Any case. So this guy, Evans, is like that. Very romantic war. He's here to make a difference, make a change and stuff. And they go through this heavy scene where everything gets shot up, and it's typical Ridley Scott, awesome scenes. And it's the end of this. And they come back, and he's lost that. He has no idea what it's about anymore. He doesn't believe that him going to battle makes any difference. He doesn't believe that they're actually doing any good. And so often that's us as Christians. We don't know that we're doing good anymore. We're sort of like, Lord, I don't get this. I go do my job, go to bed, I watch a movie. That's all I do. All right. And with that thought, please listen carefully. The words are very muffled and not so loud, but I will read it afterwards.
You going back in? There's still men out there. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? You want some kind of war junkie? You know what I say? I don't say a word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand that it's about the men next to me, and that's it. That's all it is. There are two reasons why we do it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We do it for God. And love your neighbor. That is why we go through what we go through. You're doing it for me and I'm doing it for you. That is the problem with the iPhone world. Are we here tonight? I say, are we here tonight, church? We need to stand together and understand that it's not about how special I am, how called I am, how anointed I am. I will go nowhere. You see, God says something very, very interesting in Scripture. He says, I do nothing without telling my servants, the prophets. If you want to be a prophet in the house, it's very simple. You become a servant, the least. Then you step up to be a prophet. And this is where I'm going to carry on next week, at least in 3-4 weeks. I'll carry on about this. We are called a shofar to be a prophetic voice. If you want to reach what God's called you to do, you need to start serving. You need to let go and let God. We need to stand up together. We need to let go of what we think is right and what is best and iPhone, iCar, iHouse, iWhatever. And we got to start asking God, what is the Lord doing amongst us? Come on the 29th of this month and we'll discuss that more. Let's look at those scriptures. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Here's a prophetic word for you. The Lord will use your gifts to become weapons in his hand. I will say that again. The Lord will use your gifts, your talents, what you are amazing at, as a weapon in his hand if you allow him to. Is that not awesome? It's not awesome that God's going to use me as I am. Does that mean I have to go plant a church in Timbuktu? No. That means God is going to use my plowshares and my whatever's, my pruning hooks, okay? He's going to use your calculator and your, what do you all use at Alan Gray? I don't know. Okay, your ruler, law spear, law dagger, all right? You see, it happened in Nehemiah's time. He said, he made sure the people got it. One hand on the wall, one hand on the sword. That's what God's called us to do. One hand on the wall, one hand on the sword. Why? Why we do this? We do it for the lost. We do it for one another. And we do it for our King. That's why we endure our hardships. That's when we can understand the joy of the hardships. That's good preaching. Let me help you tonight. Amen. If you're not going to say amen, I'm going to have to because... And woe to those who are with children and those who are nursing babies in those days. Sorry, Esther. Don't worry, it's not for you. For there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. That is Jesus speaking. It's not in red there, but it should be. God is speaking to spiritual babies. He says, woe to you spiritual babies in that time of war. You see, God's calling us to step up to the next level of shofar. And shofar Cape Town. And I don't know if you noticed, there's something, especially if you're around the staff, I'm all day around them, something's changed around us. We think differently. We act differently. There's excitement in our spirits that's brewing. That now and then is about the bike that Jack and I talk about all the time. But most of the time, it's about what God's doing. We're really excited for what God's doing in his house. We're standing in faith for amazing things to start happening and breaking in Cape Town through us. But we can't be spiritual babies anymore. We have to say, and please, if you save 2 months, a year, 2 years, take it as it comes. This is not for you. I'm talking to those that walk the long road of the Lord. It's time that we get over our offenses with the Lord and with his people. It's time we let go. It's time to climb in that foxhole. Ladies and gentlemen, you will find yourself on the battlefield dead. A lot of those people that I saw in that vision are not serving the Lord anymore. A lot of people in my vision, the Lord showed me faces, are not serving the Lord anymore. A lot of those people have given up the calling on their lives. A lot of them stepped out of ministry. A lot of them left the Lord because they never learned the hiding place of God. The most awesome, powerful, special place that the Lord calls us into. You see, so many of us want to be Samson. We want to be special. And for a while, it will work. I kid you not, it will work. You will be anointed. You will be blessed. But where Samson was different than David and those men of faith, he started, and especially if you go through that scripture of Jesus in his fast, he started eating the honeycomb, the forbidden fruits. He started enjoying the pleasures of life. It cost him his calling. And tonight, I'm praying and standing in faith that something will change in our spirit, that we will let go of Samson. You know, David was just as strong as Samson. David killed thousands and ten thousands. David left a legacy. Samuel died. He committed suicide. That's what happened. He took his life. And with him, he took a few others. That's all he could do with his life. David left us a legacy. Because he was hidden in Christ. Can I call up the band so long, please? Can we play that last clip? I've got one more clip for you guys. This man died last year. Last year, no? This guy died, Dick Winters died. He was in charge of the Easy Company that we showed you in the beginning. So he's a real live, he's the second guy that will be speaking. But I want us to listen to what the men of the World War II said. All right? Can we play the clip? Yeah, that's the right one.
Henry V was talking to his men. He said, from this day to the ending of the world, we in it shall be remembered. We lucky few, we band of brothers. For he who today sheds his blood with me shall be my brother.
Do you remember the letter that Mike Ranney wrote me? You do. Do you remember how I ended it? I cherish the memories of a question my grandson asked me the other day when he said, Grandpa, were you a hero in the war? Grandpa said no. But I served in a company of heroes.
We're going to worship together this evening. And after that, I'm going to do an altar call. And it's not going to be a normal altar call. It's going to be for us to take up the cause. So I want you to, as we're worshiping, I want you to seek God. I want you to ask God, Lord, come and change my spirit. I can't do another emotional roller coaster. And we're going to pray together and we're going to stand up together. God is an anointing and a calling on each one of us together. That's why you're here, to do it together. Tents can't do it without us. We can't do it without tents. We need one another. We need unity. I'm so glad what Yaku said about this team that went out. They were in unity. What a testimony of God's people reaching out when we stand together. Let's worship the Lord. Father, this evening we come and we say, Lord, that we pick up our cross. We deny ourselves. We come into the hiding place follow you. Lord, we give you everything. Surely you gave everything to us. The least we can give is everything to you. And what an awesome sacrifice, Lord. Because there is more abundance when we are walking together in harmony, in love, together as a family. And I come against every lie that you are not welcome in this church. I come against every lie that you have no friends in this church, in this congregation. It's a lie from the enemy, it's from the pit of hell. And I say the Lord's house will not be divided. We will stand together in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, Lord. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Lord, that we will be as David's men, that will walk and see the promises on our lives as we walk with David. And we declare that you are our David. You are our King. To you we kneel. Is there anyone tonight that needs to make right with God? You've walked away. Put your hand up. Be bold. If you've walked away from God, put your hand up and say, I'm coming. I'm coming back. Okay. You can put down once you put your hand up. Guys, when we fall forward. We fall unto God, not away from God. When I sin, I do as David. I run to my King. I have learned to run to the King and not accept shame. I'm not going to call those guys up that put up their hands. I want you to make right with God. You know what it means. You know the walk. For the rest of us, if you've let go, if there's nothing inside of you that says yes to God, I want you to come to the front. I'm talking about your calling, about who you are, about what God is doing. If you're not part of what God is doing, then you can come to the front. If your question is in your mind, what is God doing, then come to the front. We're going to stand together. And I'd like the intercessors to come up. That was tonight, the intercession. I'd like you to come up. I want us to come and sit before the Lord, or come kneel before the Lord. There's no spectators in the house, so either you're praying for those that's coming forward, or you're coming forward, or you're making right with the Lord. I'm going to wait till everyone that needs to be up in front will come to front. There's no shame in coming to the front. The pastor is always up in front. So I'm up in front. You are welcome to come and partner with us. You are welcome to come and partner with God has for you. There's a cause in each and every life. And if you don't have the boldness to come up front, that's fine. I'm still praying for you and including you. Because we need to get this. You know how I know this? Because we're not walking in what God has called shofar to walk in Cape Town. Do you know that? Does everyone know that? Can everyone look at me? Do you guys realize, do we realize that we are not walking in the calling that God has for us? We're seeing glimpses of it. We're starting to step into certain places in it. But we are not walking in the fullness of what God has for us. Is there amen to that? And it's not that anything's wrong. It's that God says, you've endured. You've gone through your hardships. Now let's stand up together. Let's battle together. We few. We happy. We merry. We bliss few. The Lord gave me a vision many years ago in Shofar, Stellenbosch. It was the most awesome vision I had. We were the army, and we were fighting like the Zulus. He was a history teacher. The Zulus are the cause of us. In any case, they run like an ox. So the young guys flank you, and the older men run from the front. We all had our shields up. And the enemy was in front of us, and he started shooting to the left. And every man put his shield to the left. He did not block himself. He blocked the person next to him. And the enemy saw this, and he started shooting to our right. And instantaneously, we blocked to the guy to the right. The Lord this year reminded me of that vision. He showed me the vision again. He showed me another part of the vision. We're running from the throne room of God. There is light from behind us. We are not in some dark corner in a little hooky where the devil's got us outnumbered and outplayed. And we're hacking away at weeds and we're not even sure what we're doing. We're coming from the throne room of God. And from now on, when we go to battle, that's where we come from. In the hiding place of the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Dear Lord, we return to the hiding place. I pray in this month that you'll come and show each one of us the hiding place individually. I pray that you'll speak to us as the staff corporately. I pray that you'll speak to intercessors corporately. Lord, it's not for teens to work this out. It's for us to work this out together. I pray, Lord, that we'll have the boldness to put the shield to the left and put the shield to the right. We take up our calling this evening. We say, Lord, that the price is worth it. No greater love has any man than one who will give it up for another. I pray for that love. Not a wishy-washy, emotional McDonald's love. I pray for a true love. I pray, Lord, that you will come and visit us, Holy Spirit, in this month and change our spirits, change our hearts, change our desires. Lord, we allow you to arrest our hearts. We allow you into our lives. We stand, we kneel, we sit before you this evening and we say, enough is enough. Let us be awesome, awesome weapons in your hand, Lord. Because that's what you've called each one of us to be. Each one of us is unique and special, called, ordained, prepared. We thank you, Lord, for every hardship. And Lord, I pray that you'll come and show us in the hardships where you were. In those times when we were alone and we were hurting and there was no one around, Lord. When we felt deserted, we felt abandoned. I pray that you'll show us where you were. We will see Jesus in every scenario. Because Jesus will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We take up the call, Lord, as Paul did. Transform our spirits from a Saul to a Paul. Lord, we'll have such a Damascus experience in our lives that everything will say yes and amen to the call of God. That no matter what comes our way, we'll do it. We'll climb the mountains. We'll swim the oceans. Because it's your spirit that empowers us. I pray, Lord, for Luke 4. Holy Spirit, I pray for the power for success. And I say to those that have been under failure upon failure, it is that cycle stopping over your life tonight in the name of Jesus. We submit under the name of Jesus Christ. We take up our authority. We give space for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will empower you in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your cycling group. The Lord will empower you. He will give you favor. I pray for the favor on our lives as David had favor, as Paul had favor, as Joseph had favor. I pray for the favor for each one of us. Lord, I pray that you'll move us, Lord, from a desert across the Jordan together. No man gets left behind. No man, no woman gets left behind. We all go over together in the name of Jesus. I want to ask the band to play one more song. That's it for tonight. Thank you very much. God bless you. Can I ask that we keep it quiet in here? There's coffee other side. You're more than welcome. Those that are up in front, the intercessors will pray for you. Maybe one or two cell leaders to come and pray as well, please. Let's just keep this moment holy. Go home. Find the hiding place. And I'll see you all in the end of this month.